Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good many announcements to make this morning, so I'm not going to make every one that's in the bulletin. You can peruse that for yourself. I just remind you, always have the crying room available with a speaker. Hopefully it's plugged up for a baby or a young child. Or if someone gets in a coughing fit, you can slip out into there. And nursery care is available every Sunday in it should be in the nursery. Deacon's Cove Drive, you can read about that. Then September 15th, I want to talk about this for just a second. The Deacon's Annual Fellowship Pig Roast is going to be that Sunday. Also, that is National Back to Church Sunday, so we're going to be promoting this through our church and outside, trying to invite people to church and maybe sending out some postcards. And also inviting you to church and persons who maybe we haven't seen in a while. So we're going to make a big production out of it. And I'll preach a sermon about church on that day. And then following that, starting the next Sunday, we're going to do a program called a 30-Day Church Challenge. I'll be preaching out of the book of Acts. And what is the church? Why do we come to church? And so we'll go through that and tie that in with a five-week Bible study that I'm a small group study I'll have at my house. And if Bill wants to do it, he may. He's looking at the material now. He may teach it in Sunday school. He may not. That'll be up to him between now and September the 15th. But I'm very excited about this. And it'll also give us a chance to invite people to church again. But the September 15th is a great day to invite people. Also, we'll be promoting that National Back to Church Sunday and also with the Deacon's Pig Roast. It's a great day to invite people and then to be able to feed them. Now, the other night, we announced and I sent it out to the whole church inviting everyone to come to the Christian Education Meeting. And we just had a wonderful meeting. I mean, we were laughing and giggling and I like meetings like that. But the thing I liked about the meeting the most was that it was productive. We had a lot of good ideas come out of this meeting. And one of the things that we're going to institute, our junior church that takes place during the worship hour, we've always just had the kids over there with the junior church teachers, and we've had three teachers. Now we're going to have, I think, about seven teachers. So that's going to more than double the teachers and help them. Also, we're going to bring the kids into the sanctuary for the first part of the service, sitting with their family. In the appropriate time, I think we talked about when Bill is coming up to read the scripture, or whoever's reading the scripture, the children will slip out, those age appropriate, and go to McFadden Hall, or wherever they're going to be for junior church. And so I think that's going to work very, very nicely. Also talked, and you'll hear more about this, but I just want to throw it out now, that youth fellowship, we're going to try something a little bit different and try to have a once a month project for them, and some fun things and some activity projects for them to do. So that's very exciting, I think, for all of us and for the youth, for the parents. So there's something to look forward to when we come back into the fall. So please be in prayer about this. The junior church, the CE program, the youth fellowship, the September 15th, National Back to Church Sunday, and then the 30-day church challenge, because we're going to issue a challenge for everybody to try to make it as best they can for those 5 weeks and to join a small group during that time. I think that's everything I wanted to say about that. And you can finish reading your her announcements, and this time I forgot to announce it, but if you take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down with your name, address, and if a phone number or cell phone or email has changed, or if you've not given it to us, and we can put you on our mailing list, we would love to do so. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning, and before I say that, welcome back, Mickey. We always miss you when you're gone, and Sean hasn't been here for a couple of weeks, so they're back together, and we did appreciate Debbie being here last week. And before I forget that, Debbie had asked me to pray for her husband last week who had a rod put in his leg, and I forgot to mention it. So I want to make sure I say that now before I forget it. They're struggling with that. So welcome back. Number two, come thou font of every blessing. And women of the church will meet after church August 4th. Worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We are grateful that you answer them according to your wisdom. Take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift.
Let's join with other churches in our immediate community and churches around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask them. Thank you. Beautiful. Nice to hear an instrumental. A responsive reading in the back of your red hymnals, 655 on prayer. That's the theme of the service today, prayer. 655. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Time I'll invite the elder on the door to bring the prayer requests.
Good morning, church family. A few prayer requests from our congregation today. Suzanne Connors would like us to pray for the Jones family. There are two members that this request is for. There was a motorcycle accident. The driver has a severe concussion with short-term memory lapses. And the passenger, unfortunately the first time on a bike, what an experience to have, is having surgery for more plates in her leg. The praise here is that they're alive. So we lift them up in prayer. For our dear friend Paul Kosherhork, this coming Tuesday he will have an outpatient procedure for a lung. Continue to lift you up in prayer, Paul. Adele's friend Loretta Maseth, she is becoming very depressed with all of her health problems. And I'm sure numerous health issues can, and with medication, can certainly redirect our energy to a place that's not so positive. And as Leonard mentioned, Debbie Sowa's husband will either did or will have a rod placed in his leg. And I believe, if I have the story correct, that this is as a result of complications, that there's is more serious than just the rod, that there's also, I think, infection and some other issues there. So if we can continue to lift Debbie and her husband up in prayer.
And I want us to remember just the church in prayer, coming back in September with the programs that we're talking about, the youth, and September 15th, and then the 30-day program, and everything that we're trying to do. And people in our area be praying for the salvation. They'll find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as we pray allegiance to the Lord's Prayer, and saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses, let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of prayer. We may not always think of it as a gift, but you could be a God who turns a deaf ear to us and never listens to us, could have created the heavens and the earth and simply turned your back and walked away from us. But you have not. You even sent your only Son into the world that we might have a way out of our sin and the promise of eternal life and salvation and even the abundant life here upon this earth. That abundant life doesn't mean that we'll get everything that we want, but maybe that we'll get what we need in our spiritual lives. Help us to learn to pray as the disciples asked you, to pray your will, to be able to move ourself and our will out of the way and ask God, what do you want for my life? How should I pray? What should I be praying for? Lord, it is so hard for us to move self out of the way and ask that your will be done. But Lord, we lift all these prayer requests up to you. The persons mentioned, ones listed in the Valley newsletter, ones listed in the bulletin, all their needs to be met. We always want healing and health, relationships that may be broken to be put back together, where there is unforgiveness, for forgiveness to be given and received, for our daily needs to be met, and to help us resist temptation. Lord, thank you again for allowing us the privilege of prayer. And remind us that we need to come to you and talk to you on a daily basis. We don't have to have the perfect words, but just to come and talk, and then to take a few moments in silence and listen for you, your calm, still, quiet voice to speak to us. And thank you that Jesus gave us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is our screen song, Your Grace is Enough. Thank you. think I had one too many frames in there. I apologize. Oh, I need a vacation. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within it, to celebrate life and the good gifts that you've given us from above. Our family, our friends, our church, monies that we can give back to your church, build it up. But not just money, the talents that you've given us, musical abilities and the ability to sing, the ability to pray and to read, the ability to reach out with kind words to build other people up and help them find their potential. Lord, thank you for everything that we can do that brings people closer to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that can help them to find eternal life, and we can all be together forever in heaven and celebrate forever. Thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings in our lives. Lord, thank you for this congregation and for all that they do. Things that we don't know about. Many things are done in secret. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our Savior, and who is our friend. Amen. Thank you. While Bill's coming up to read the scripture, just a couple of things. Call a little session. If we can, meet at my office. I'll be greeting people, and you got to key them off because my office is locked. We can go up there. And the heating that we talked about, the heating issue, the pipes broke in one of the dart rooms. We'll be gone for a couple of weeks, and Mata Heating and Air is coming in to work on that. So I'm sure that we've got enough money for that now, so we can release some of that to pay Mata Heating and Air. And they've given us such a wonderful price. And actually, Mike Mata's here with us today, if you don't know him, related to the hall. So we thank Mike for just the blessing that he's given us to help us with that. And something that we need to fix. And he'll fix that and work on it while Dart is out of session. So.
Good morning, dear disciples of the Glenshaw Valley. When we study scripture, we find that Jesus is always praying. He prays on top of a mountain. He prays in a boat. He prays on his face. He prays before, during, and after meals. Prayer was an important part of Jesus' life. So too, for us, disciples of the Lord, should be also praying and constantly praying. And the Lord gave us instructions on how to pray, what our prayers should be like, in both Luke the scripture I'll be reading, as well as Matthew. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 11, 1 through 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
During the prayer time, I forgot to tell that Isabel Mellinger is having some congestive heart failure, and she's been taken to St. Margaret's. So let's remember her also. I mean, we're praying for her, but let's remember where she is at. The version that was read this morning is the NIV version. That's the one that we put up on the screen, so it's a little different than some of you may be used to. And what we're talking about this morning is the disciples' prayers Bill just spoke about. September 1996, a man named Eduardo was on a business trip. He was driving through the Swedish countryside when he came upon a Catholic church. He decided to stop in for a few moments to pray, and the church was empty inside except for a coffin with a body lying at rest inside it. Eduardo decided to take a few moments to stop and pray for the man who lay in the coffin. Then he signed a book of remembrance left by the coffin, and apart from the signature, it was empty. He was the only one who had signed it. Some weeks later, Eduardo received a telephone call telling him that he was now a millionaire. The body was that of a Swedish businessman with no close relatives who had left his fortune to whoever came in and first prayed for his soul. I wish that I could promise you that every time that you went to God in prayer and prayed sincerely, that you would be awarded $1 million. I'm sure we'd have much more effective prayer here at Glenshaw Valley, myself included. Pray for just a few minutes and you become a millionaire. But it doesn't work that way. Oftentimes, it's just the opposite. I'll tell you a little true story. Recently, I read about a man named Jack who's employed at his church's denominational offices. It was customary in the particular office of all employees to pause for prayer at 9 o'clock. A bell would ring and that would signal, "Stop what you're doing. It's time for our prayer as a group." Occasionally, though, the employees would find themselves on a phone call during the prayer time, and they could not end that phone call for whatever reason, so they would have to continue it, but everybody else would be in silent prayer so they could hear the phone call and what was being said and going on. Well, Jack reports that one morning during the quiet prayer, a co-worker named Paul could be heard during this quiet prayer time shouting from his desk, "Hello? Hello? I can hear you. Can you hear me?" I think we've all done that on the phone. But we've all been there one time or another in our prayer life when we're praying to God and we feel like we're throwing up prayers and we wonder, is God even hearing me? Does he listen to me? Does he care about my needs, physical and spiritual, relational, financial, whatever it might be? We know that he does care, but sometimes we begin to wonder, especially when we're going through a very difficult time in our lives. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist, taught his disciples to pray." Disciples were very much aware that prayer played a very important role in the life of Jesus. The references to Jesus praying are numerous just with the opening chapters of the Gospel of Luke. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed during the temptation for 40 days. On one occasion, he prayed all night in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the day when the disciples asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" he had been alone praying. And afterwards, he went up into the mountain to pray. And now on this occasion, Luke tells us he was praying in a certain place. Prayer was important to Jesus, just as it ought to be to each and every one of us. The disciples saw how important prayer was to Jesus, and so they asked him to teach them to pray. At that point, Jesus taught the most famous prayer that's ever been prayed. Luke's version of the prayer is a little shorter than the Lord's Prayer that we use, but it gets right to the heart of prayer, what it ought to be. And here's what Jesus taught them. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Note how the Master begins by focusing his attention on God. When you pray, say, "Father." This is very important. Jesus begins his prayer by focusing upon God, not himself. Only Jesus could be bold enough to call the creator of the universe Father, especially in that culture when they didn't mention the name of God. Now, it's a very antiquated word, hallowed. Most people say it and don't really know what it means. But a dictionary definition of hallowed would be sanctified or consecrated or highly venerated. And not only do we not use the word hallowed anymore, very few things in our world are regarded as hallowed or sanctified anymore. Many of us remember when our national institutions and flags were hallowed. Now it's impossible even to quiet some crowds during the singing of the national anthem. Watch it at a football or basketball or football or baseball game, whatever. And some people are singing and other people are just partying, not even paying any attention to the national anthem. We remember when the Sabbath was hallowed. Now it's one of the biggest shopping days of the week for many communities. And such hallowedness seems to be gone forever. But of course, not all is to be mourned. The Bible gives clear warning that any man-made institution, even laws regarding the Sabbath, can become a part of our idolatry. One of the prime arguments that can be used to crucify Jesus was that he broke the Sabbath. Still, there's something wrong in a society where nothing seems to be hallowed anymore or sacred. I suspect that Jesus could have referred to God as the man upstairs, but he called God the Father, doing it with a sense of reverence. God is God. He is still, "I am that I am." Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Father, hallowed be your name." He told us to begin our prayer by focusing on God and who God is. Notice when he said next, "Your kingdom come." When Christ refers to God's kingdom, he is referring to any place God reigns in human affairs. Some of the ancient manuscripts like Matthew and Gospel includes the words, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I apologize, this is cutting out. That's why we include those words when we say the Lord's Prayer. But again, the focus is on God and his eternal purpose for our life. And here's the chief problem in prayer oftentimes. We want to focus on our kingdom and our will. And Jesus understands that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember how Jesus prayed when he asked that the cup of suffering might be removed from him? He didn't want to have to go to the cross and all that he had to suffer. But he ended up praying, "Not my will, but your will be done." We can pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," because we believe God's will is always the best for us. Notice how Jesus illustrates this truth later in the passage that we read earlier. About father who asks for a fish and an egg, will his father give him a stone or a serpent or a scorpion? Of course not. And we need the see that. If God's will is done, we receive everything that we need. The Bible says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. But sometimes we don't see that because we do not see life from God's perspective. We only see it from our perspective. But God knows our needs, and God will provide for us. Boy once said to God, I've been thinking, and I know what I want to be and what I want when I become a man. He proceeded to give God his list: to live in a big house, 2 St. Bernards and a garden, to marry a blue-eyed, tall, beautiful woman, to have 3 sons, one to be a senator, one to be a star quarterback, one to be a scientist. He also wanted to be an adventurer who climbed tall mountains and drove a shiny red Ferrari. As it turned out, the boy hurt his knee one day while playing football, and he could no longer climb trees or mountains. He married a beautiful and kind woman who was short with brown eyes. Because of his business, he lived in the city, not a big house with a garden, and he had to take cabs in the subway, not a sleek, expensive red Ferrari. He had 3 loving daughters, not sons, a nurse, an architect, and a teacher. They adopted not 2 St. Bernards, but a big, fluffy, fat cat. One morning, the man awoke and remembered his boyhood dream, and he became extremely depressed. And he went to God in prayer, aggravated, and he called out to God, remember when I was a boy and I told you all the things that I wanted? Why didn't you give me those things? God said, you know, I could have, but I chose instead to make you happy. It is a wise person who realizes that the kindest thing that God does to us sometimes is not to answer the prayers the way that we want them answered sometimes. When you pray, trust God. God knows your needs. Jesus begins with God. That is where we too must begin, because God knows our needs. He is the source of our life. He is a hope for a better life. He is the Lord of all creation. He created you. And only after Christ has focused our attention on God and His kingdom and His will does He turn to our needs. Give us each day our daily bread. It is interesting to me how much Jesus said, little He said about our physical needs, only one line. That's all. Here again is why so much of our prayer life is ineffective. You and I probably spend most of our time on our physical needs. Yet Jesus devoted 4 times as much on the spiritual needs over above the physical needs. And this is not to say that daily bread is unimportant, because it is. Jesus taught us to pray for it. God's will is for our physical needs to be met. How can we be effective servants if our daily physical needs are not met? If we don't have enough food to eat, if we can't pay our bills, if our relationships are breaking up. God wants us to be a happy people. He wants to provide for us. So it's perfectly legitimate for us to share with God the pressing concerns on our life, whether it's trying to get the money together to make the house payments, or pray about the baby's fever that'll go down, or the aches and pains that we're having in our own bodies. It is God's will that we share our physical concerns with Him. But our physical well-being is just part of our deepest needs. We need to focus on God and God's kingdom. Begin your prayer by asking that God's kingdom and God's will be done in your life and upon this earth. Give those priorities first. Then he will provide the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Give us each our daily bread. Our physical needs are important. Definitely take them to God. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Wow. Why do you have to throw that in? That trips us up, doesn't it? I mean, I got to be forgiving people to get prayers answered? I'll just forget about prayer. Forgiving someone who has wronged us is tough. Extremely tough. No matter how beautiful your prayers, you cannot be spiritually whole until you're able to forgive those who have wronged you. No matter how many physical blessings you have, if you are still carrying around anger and bitterness and resentment in your heart because someone has done you wrong, good country song, you're still carrying a cancer in your soul. An expert on divorce recovery says that the major breakthrough for persons recovering from brokenness and pain of divorce is the willingness to forgive their former spouse, even if the former spouse doesn't think they need any forgiveness. Forgiving others is one of the most therapeutic exercises in which we can engage. You don't forgive the other person for their sake. This is where we get it confused. You forgive the other person for your sake. It's easy to obtain God's forgiveness. Easy. If you're sincerely repentant, God will forgive you of your sins. God will forgive. That's important for us to hold on to and believe and know so we can heal and we can move on. But forgiving yourself and forgiving others, that is what is hard. Forgiving someone else is hard. Even forgiving yourself is often hard. Sometimes that's the hardest thing of all. And lead us not into temptation. Well, maybe a little temptation. Come on. Nobody likes a saint, do they? Don't we want to be a little bad? So on and on we go with our trying to get by with stuff. Evade it. Let me get by with this. I know. I used to do it all the time. I was a master at it. But I gave it up. When will we acknowledge our basic situation and our need? We are sinners. Sinners with infinite possibilities for good. But still, we are sinners. And all of us need to wash daily in God's cleansing streams. We need God's help to escape the temptations that are forever before us. Lead us not in temptation. It is Matthew who adds, but deliver us from evil. He will deliver you from temptation if you ask. I mean, do you really know that? But you have to want it. You have to pray about it sincerely. The problem is that many of us are quite happy to be tempted and to follow that temptation. So what does the disciples' prayer teach us? Teaches us to focus on God and His goodness and His love. Ask for your physical needs, but remember your spiritual needs as well. Your need for forgiveness, but also your need to forgive others, and your need to be kept from temptation. It was the early church that added those last lines which we complete the Lord's Prayer years later. But they represent the culmination of everything we believe about a loving God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, very appropriate, 433, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Thank you. thank you for being here today, and I'll see you in a few weeks, and we're going to have some nice speakers here. Hope that you'll come out and support them and support the church. And I thank everyone for giving to the heating need. I'm sure that we've got more than enough money to pay for that, and if there's over an abundance, certainly the money I gave can be put on something else, maybe for the upkeep. So, as you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt it was a safe and a loving place, that you felt affirmed by the message and the songs and the prayer and the other people here, that you brought a positive spirit into the service today, and you'll go out with a positive message to take to your friends and your family, your neighbors, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he loves them, and that he offers forgiveness. Take words of edification, positive. Love others as God loves you. Forgive them as you have been forgiven. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.